I want to read a well-known scripture in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth where he was brought up. And he entered, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And having unrolled the book, he found the place where it was written. And now I've got a reason for turning to the actual reference. So if we can look at Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah hath anointed me to announce glad tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, an opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah. And then back in Luke chapter 4 and verse 20. And having rolled up the book, when he had delivered it up to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And then just one little reference in Philemon, the first verse of Philemon, which is on page 1445. Paul, prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timotheus the brother, to Philemon the beloved and our fellow workman, and to the sister Aphia, and to Archippus our fellow soldier, and to the assembly which is in thine house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, it says, Paul the aged, and now also prisoner of Jesus Christ. I think I've said this possibly before. I apologise if I have. I remember when I was a lad, preaching in Cardiff, in Wales, and the brother started his preaching by saying, "It's a wonderful privilege of mine to preach to a bunch of prisoners." That rather shook me up at the time. We've recently moved near a prison. But tonight, dear friends, I am addressing a bunch of prisoners. Because you're either a prisoner of the devil, you're captive to sin, or you're a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see, we all start as those who are prisoners to sin. The Lord Jesus, you know, when he spoke to the Pharisees, he said that he that is practices sin is a bondman of sin. I don't need to tell you, dear friend, tonight that you're a sinner. Well, perhaps I do. Have you ever thought seriously the fact that you're a sinner? We're a sinner by nature. When a child is born into this world, you have to tell him just about everything. He has to learn everything. But he doesn't need to learn how to sin. I think I've repeated the story before again, but Billy Graham once spoke of two little girls, very, very young, and one had a doll, and the other sister pinched the doll from the other one. And he asked, did you steal your sister's doll? And she just shook her head. And he said, there you are, she can lie before she can speak. Because by nature we're sinners. The authorised version says we're born in sin. It's our nature. But then there comes a time when you grow up, dear friend, that you choose to sin. So the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, he that practices sin, we make a conscious decision. Adam and Eve, they chose to disobey God. Yes, they were extenuating circumstances. But they chose to disobey. And dear friend, tonight you have chosen to disobey God. Do you feel guilty? Do you have a conscience? I trust tonight that you have a conscience. It's something that God has given. Listen to it. I fear for those who have no conscience. Maybe they're so hardened to sin that there's nothing there. There seems to be nothing there. And yet the Spirit can work. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit that works even now. Maybe it's working tonight in this hall, working in your heart to arouse your conscience. If you're worried about your sins, dear friend, that's a very good thing. But we live in a world where people are in bondage to sin. They're in prison. And I read from the original text in Isaiah 61 because it talks about those being set free from prison. And tonight every man, woman and child in this world, if they're not set free by Christ, they're in bondage to sin and they're in prison. And the good news of the glad tidings, what Jesus stood up in that synagogue, is the same glad tidings we preach tonight, that you can be set free. You don't have to stay in that place of bondage. And you know there are millions of people out there tonight that are in bondage to sin. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling. But it could be something different for you. Hate, lust, materialism. What are you in bondage to tonight? You know, man cannot help sinning. Luther tried to save himself, didn't he, by climbing up the steps of the cathedral. Kissed every step as he went up, and he thought he could save his soul, resolve his sins, have them forgiven. Dear friends, nothing that you can do will save you. Nothing. What did we hear this afternoon? Without me, you can do nothing. Dear friend, I appeal to you tonight. If you're feeling in bondage, and you know there's many out there that don't know they're in bondage. This is the sad thing. And the gospel is going out to awaken your conscience, to stir you up, to enlighten your soul. I'll say again, if you feel the burden of your sin, if you feel you're trapped, you know, there are people that want to get help and they don't know where to turn. Many people in a sad condition today. You just read the news and you see what sad condition people are in. And there's therapies and courses and counselors and all this. Does it help them? Maybe a little. But does it resolve the problem? No. Because there's only one person that can set you free. There's only one answer to your question of guilt, your burden, and that is Jesus himself. It's interesting in John 8, I didn't read it. You can read it for yourself. There's two things that Jesus says in John 8. He says the truth shall set you free. And he says the Son shall set you free. Well, really, they're the same thing, aren't they? Because Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Tonight, dear friend, if you're feeling comfortable with yourself, then I would pray that the work of the Holy Spirit would stir you up and enlighten your conscience, that you realize just what a perilous condition you're in. But if you are struggling tonight, if you're in a dark space, if you feel the burden of your sin, if you feel trapped, millions of people out there are feeling trapped. They just don't know the way out. And as things in the world get worse, and you don't need to ask me, things in the world are getting worse. There's no question. Even people who are not Christians, not believers in God even, they tell me things are getting worse. And what is the answer? There is only one answer, isn't there? And that's why the gospel is being preached tonight. Read again Isaiah 61. I think it's a wonderful appeal in the glad tidings. He has sent me. That's it. Jesus has been sent for that specific purpose. What does it say? To bind up the brokenhearted. Does that describe you, dear friend? How many poor souls are broken today? Maybe you've been brought up in a Christian household and yet you're broken. Could be you're broken tonight. You feel trapped, you feel bound. Jesus has come. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to them that are bound. Jesus can open the door to your freedom tonight, dear friend. How's he done it? He's done it by coming into this world, of being bound himself in a way. You know, solemn fact, isn't it? Who was Jesus? God himself. Nothing less than that, you know. I was reading it recently, Emmanuel. God with us. There was God manifest in flesh. He was sent for this specific purpose, to liberate all these poor people. How did he do it? He became constrained himself, didn't he? God himself, and yet he took on the form of a human like you and I. He took on our limitations. He felt our pain. It's wonderful. Part of the gospel that Jesus, you know, the Son of God, took on our weaknesses, sin apart. He felt our pain. Tonight, if you're downhearted, if you're feeling burdened with your sin or burdened with anything else, he feels it. He's able to sympathize. He came into that restricted condition. It says when he came into he was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was a restricted situation. The Lord Jesus, think of who he was, the creator. And yet he came into those restricted circumstances in order that he could suffer and die on a cross. Angel couldn't suffer and die on the cross. God himself, speaking very, very reverently, couldn't do that. God is a spirit. It needed someone like us who felt pain and suffering like us. So he came into those restricted circumstances. God and yet man. I don't understand it, dear friend, but it's a wonderful fact. He came into those circumstances specifically to suffer and to die. Not on his own account, but on yours and mine. The just for the unjust. He took on our sins. Isaiah 53. Yes, it was for the nation. You read that. But how often it's been said in the gospel, hasn't it? You can put your name in the we. It was for us. It was for me. He bore my sins. He was wounded for my transgressions. With his stripes I am healed. No wonder these are glad tidings, aren't they? Jesus was sent, here it says. Thou sent, has anointed me to announce the glad tidings. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus, glorious Saviour, sent me. Jesus came, you know, for millions. But we can say in the gospel, he came for you. What does the old hymn say? You know, there's room at the cross for you. All millions have come. There's room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Yes, just you. This world is not going on forever. The Lord Jesus Christ, this blessed Saviour who suffered and died on Calvary's cross, is coming back very soon. Some guessed, the hymn, one of these hymns says, some guessed will be the last. You ever thought of that? Somebody will actually be the last person saved on this earth before Jesus comes. Make sure that you get in before. Make right with God today. If you're feeling your situation, dear friend, before a holy and righteous God, I would urge you with all the desperation I can muster to get right with God tonight. To have to do with Jesus. He wants to bless you. He wants to save you. Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. How could you be disinterested? Wonderful news. You can be set free. Because God can forgive you. Speaking earlier of guilt and shame and sin, all those things can be taken away because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his precious blood. God can righteously forgive you. What a wonderful thing it is to be forgiven, you know. Not just forgiven by one another. We often offend each other, don't we? But you think of God forgiving you. Holy, all-powerful, righteous God. Little me, in all my sin, God can forgive you. Why? Because he's satisfied with the work of Jesus. And if he's satisfied, then I can be satisfied too. I can have perfect peace, perfect rest. You know, the people of Israel and their synagogues, they heard Isaiah 61 read probably, well, I don't know about every week, but certainly many, many times. And that occasion was different. And maybe you've heard the Bible read many times and you've heard the gospel preached many times. But on this occasion, it was different. Jesus said, this day, today, it's fulfilled in your ears. Maybe tonight it all suddenly clicks for you. I hope it does. You realize that Jesus is the one. It's fulfilled in him. It says he sat down, doesn't it? If you read then Luke 4, he sat down and all the eyes were fixed upon him. Oh, dear friends and I, wouldn't it be good if everybody's eyes in this hall were fixed on Jesus? they all were fixed on him, because they realized that he was the one that all the scriptures were speaking about. Dear friend, tonight, may our eyes be fixed on Jesus, the one who is the blessed Saviour, the one who can set us free from every problem, every burden. He's the one who can set us free. Does it mean we do whatever we want? No. You see, because when you believe in Jesus, not only have you have the forgiveness of sins, but he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He's our link between ourselves and the Saviour, but he gives us the power, doesn't he, to please him. And we realise that we're not a prisoner of sin anymore, but we belong to Jesus. Paul says, and I nearly read another scripture, he says that I haven't got the possession of everything I want yet, but he says, I have been possessed by Jesus Christ. He's bought me. You know what the price was, don't you? It was his precious blood. But he says, I've become a possession of Jesus Christ. I belong to him. And so Paul says that I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Of course, he probably was an actual prisoner at that time. And he was happy to be in the prison, because he realized that actually man could do nothing to him. He belonged to Jesus, and he was his Lord. And tonight, dear friend, you needn't serve sin anymore. You needn't serve this poor old world. You needn't serve Satan, who is a very hard taskmaster. But you can serve Jesus. He deserves it, doesn't he? He's bought you with his precious blood. You belong to him. And therefore, he would set you free. What, to just do what you want? No, to dedicate yourself to him. We were speaking this afternoon about disciples. Who of us would claim to be a disciple? And yet, as we think of what Jesus has done for us, surely we would want to follow him. We would want to be identified with him, because we belong to him. Paul, I suppose he was an elect vessel. He was a special case in that sense, but he was glad to be identified as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He put himself completely in his hands. Do you know there's no better hands to put your life in tonight than in the Lord Jesus Christ? Be a prisoner for his sake. He will see you through. He won't let you down. In fact, it's freedom. People think they're free in the world. They're not free. People think they can do what they like. And we live increasingly in a world where people think that anything goes. You can do what you like. The reality is, dear friend, that they're in bondage. But the Lord Jesus Christ can set you free. And you can follow him. And that's real liberty. The Son shall set you free. Dear friend, tonight, if you've not done before, put your trust and faith in this glorious Saviour who's brought you at such a cost, who's paid the ultimate price that you might be set free and walk in a pathway here that's pleasing to him, and you have a goal and a hope which the world can never offer you. Dear friend, tonight, have to do with him. Put your trust in him before this day of grace closes. It's often been said, hasn't it, when Jesus read from that passage, he stopped at the acceptable year of the Lord. In Isaiah 61, it says, and the day of vengeance of our God. Judgment is coming, dear friend. No mistake about it. But tonight, right now, God is merciful. And he's saying, be saved today while there's still a chance. Dear friend, don't miss the opportunity. Have to do with God. Have to do with this glorious Saviour who can set you free. And as you realise what he's done for you, then you can become a prisoner of his. You can become bound to him. And you'll find that's real freedom. If the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. May you do so for his name's sake.